Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The quote was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Nam. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Government attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples out here still grinding. Remind them that the place they want to be is still
dying.
Yo,
I'm the bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The Cummins, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober. But you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
a penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the Lord is vital.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them.
I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Boom. All right. Shalom, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Swear Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Shaba, one of the teachers with the ISBHPK, that's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Pastoral Knowledge, located in Albuquerque, Mexico, San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, and Norfolk, Virginia. But we are Hebrew Israelites that have been scattered out the four corners of the earth. We are Hebrew Israelites who have been scattered out the four corners of the earth. And as we're all in the grip of this coronavirus crisis that is taking hold and effect of many people around the world, particularly here in America, which is significant in that it's very rare that you have an event that affects the whole nation. When I say the whole nation, I'm referring to the whole country of America. That we know America shut down during the Great Depression back in the 20s. There was it shut down then. It was from sea to sea, from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean. It shut America down. But pretty much since those days, World War One, World War Two, we've never had where the whole country got affected or shut down. We've had recessions before. We had stock market crashes since the Great Depression. It never shut the whole country down. We've had influenza, the flu virus breakout. It never shut down or affected the whole country. We've had smallpox and measles and all types of diseases, but it's never shut down the whole country. Since like the Black Plague of England, where it affected the whole country. It's never been like this before. So this is significant times that we're definitely living in. And we as Hebrew Israelites, we've been prophesying about this and teaching about this for years. And it's coming upon us. It really is truly coming upon us. The only thing I want to remind everybody of, as I get ready to go into today's class, is remember, there were 10 plagues that hit Egypt. And I keep saying that. I'm going to keep saying it. And the Most High said he moves like a thief in the night. And all this I want to bring light to those issues, or bring light to those points, is that I know I'm trying to get my thoughts together. I apologize. There were 10 plagues that hit Egypt. And as one plague hit Egypt, that plague was devastating. And it hit the whole land, the whole empire of Egypt, not just Cairo, Egypt. It hit the whole empire of Egypt. And shut Egypt down. Then there was a recovery. Then another plague came. It shut the whole empire down. There was a recovery. There was another plague that shut the whole empire down, and there was recovery. This too, there will, I believe there will be a recovery. I'm not praying for the recovery of America, what have you. No, not when Christ told us in these last days that there'll be pestilences and wars and rumors of wars and all type of things going on. I get that. I'm not opposed to that. But one thing we do have to understand is, hold on, what is this? Okay, I just got a text. All right, cool. I'm not sure why. Hold on one second, everybody.
Romans 2:5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will,
yep,
render unto every man according to his,
nope,
deeds, to them who by patience continue,
yep,
in some well-doing seek,
nope,
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep,
eternal life. But unto them that are,
nope,
contentious and do not obey the,
yep,
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Craig Lucas.
Yep. You an African American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell you?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin?
Nope.
Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
choices. I chose this walk, so I keep on trotting.
Everybody got choices.
Choose the right path and nothing can stop us.
Everybody got choices.
Righteous life, devil don't like that.
Romans 2 and 5.
Nope.
Righteous.
All right, sorry about that. I got a confusing text. I didn't understand it, so I need some time to kind of throw a mind into it and read it. But I got it straightened out. But go ahead and get into this class. Again, my mind is everywhere. I'm thinking about so many different people and so many different situations in the times that we're living in, that we know that these days are prophesied about. We know it was prophesied that the times would come where a man would desire to go into a city and would not be able to. Wars, rumors of wars, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. As you know, for years, I've been going over end-time prophecies as far as mass animal deaths and reporting on, if you do a Google search for mass animal deaths and go back for, I believe they go back to 2014. You get a chance to track by year mass animal deaths. The statistics are staggering. And they tell you on the website that they only have all the statistics in. But to read what they have, it's mind-boggling. But we've been probably talking about these type of things for years. Going all the way back around the first time when Cover Copper started his blog talk episodes, and we was reporting on at that time the correction that was in the water, when the oil tank out there in the Gulf of Mexico exploded and had all that oil that had caught on fire. We was reporting from back then about the last days and the waters being turned to blood and the water and that tanker being on fire. Not the Exxon Valdez, but I remember the big oil spill that took place in the Gulf of Mexico, and that oil wound up hitting the whole earth, going through and causing all the type of damage and the correction that was sprinkled on the oil that sank it to try and help dissipate it, but sank it just beneath the surface of the water. So it seemed as if they were doing something. It seemed as if they were cleaning it up, but they just sank it a little bit. We reported on the plastic islands that have been created from the pollution. That there's a plastic island between America and Japan on America's west coast. They say it's about the size of the state of Texas. Which is huge. We've been reporting on that. There's one in the Atlantic also. We reported these things. The coming march, the martial law that is prophesied to take place. The destruction of race riots would have you. We've been prophesying about these things. And as I was saying earlier, right before this, the second little break. Remember, there were 10 plagues in Egypt. As one plague hit, there was a recovery for the Egyptian way of living, and then another plague hit. And then there was a recovery. And then another plague hit. And the purpose of all these things was so that we as Israel, not only was it about God, the Lord God, showing his power, and manifesting his power to us as Israelites, his children, his people, his chosen. But it was also, in doing so, for everything that we might have counted for safety, for everything we might have counted for the Egyptian government at the time to provide for us, we see where God became the provider for us, as long as we were doing his righteousness. As long as Israel was doing right by the Most High in the land of Egypt. And at that time, the only righteousness we could be held accountable for was just being able to gather together. We haven't received the laws yet from the Most High as we did coming out of Egypt and into Mount Sinai, getting the Ten Commandments and all the various laws of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
and how we're supposed to conduct our lives, the moral law, the civil law, the dietary law, and the ceremonial law. I'm going to leave it at that. We had to be taught those things. We had to be given those things. So the righteousness that we were being held accountable for while being in Egypt during time of the plagues was what? It was for us to gather ourselves together. That was the righteousness that we were held accountable for in ancient Egypt. When the plagues were taking place, that the righteousness the Most High was looking for is that we gathered ourselves together. And eventually that wound up being in the land of Goshen. But prior to the land of Goshen, when we read Exodus, the first chapter, it tells you we were scattered abroad throughout Egypt for the cost of living. We were scattered abroad throughout Egypt to still maintain the quota of work that had to be done without the assistance of the government, without the assistance of Pharaoh's help. And it scattered the Israelites. And that ploy, that plot, that contrivance, if you will, was put together because we were thinking too much about wanting to go worship our God. We were thinking too much about wanting to go serve our God. And that meant that we were not going to be serving the Egyptians. So Pharaoh came with that plan. That look, y'all, if y'all can think about y'all God, y'all are too idle. Y'all don't have enough work. Pharaoh's plan was, I got to get you to stop thinking about your God. Because you are the main product. You're the main subsidy. You're the main thing that keeps at the time, ancient Egypt going. I got to get your mind off of serving your God and what's it going to take to serve in Egypt. What's it going to take to be able to pay your bills, pay your debt? How you staying good with your landlord, staying good with your the food provider, if your mind is not thinking about these things, as opposed to us Israelites thinking about how can we get away to go worship our God, getting away to now instead of serving the Egyptians, then now our service will be towards the Lord our God. So we understand that plan was put together to keep us from the thoughts of doing God's righteousness, which at the time was gathering together. As we see here now in modern-day Babylon, spiritual Egypt, spiritual Sodom and Gomorrah, this place called America, we see that similar tactics, if we study and look, are being employed at this time also. To worry about my bills, to worry about my credit, to worry about where I'm going to stay, where I'm going to eat, how I'm going to be taken care of, that as these issues become more and more prevalent during these times, we have to study that. We have to see that and understand that these are the same tactics that were used by the ancient Egyptians, to get us to worry about our bills and how we were taken care of. This is what Christ warned us in Matthew 6 chapter. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, where you're going to be at. For these are the things that the Gentiles think about. These are the things they worry about. But seek ye first the kingdom of the Most High and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And that's what led me to the title of the class, The Lord Our Righteousness. And are we really doing things right by the Most High? And I've been banging around the bush with this topic for months now. And I'm trying to be as direct right now as possible. The only thing that keeps me back is, yeah, different levels of people that log on to the class. And, you know, I can't really worry about that. I gotta just drop the class. Because I don't want to insult nobody either. When we go to Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And I know that the brother tells the father this past Tuesday and touched on this scripture. Okay, I'm getting text in. and dealing with I'm sorry, a lot of this stuff is very upsetting. A lot of stuff is very upsetting. Everybody's mind just be everywhere, and you can't say nothing to anybody because they get offended, get pissed off, mad. Especially during these times, because it's such a selfish time that everybody is really, it's just about what I'm going through. It's just about what I feel. It's about what I think. And it's not about God's righteousness. And again, this wasn't the purpose of this class. Everybody's idea, definition of righteousness is by what makes them feel good. It's got nothing to do with the Bible. It's got nothing to do with the scriptures. It's only about an individual's comfort and convenience. But it's got nothing to do with the scriptures. And again, this is why I want to get into this class. Again, Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, because we have really adopted and received, just like coming out of ancient Egypt, we know this. It says this: the journey of the children of Israel in ancient Egypt was over 400 years. I think it was 430 years to the day. That's 4 centuries. That's 4 centuries that we were in ancient Egypt, being very indoctrinated with their way of thinking, their way of their outlook, their wisdom, their knowledge, their understanding. And one thing in ancient Egypt, one thing we didn't have to go through in ancient Egypt was finding out our nationality. Even while in ancient Egypt, the whole time we were there, we still knew we were Israelites. We knew we were the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our enemies knew we were the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That wasn't a mystery. Whereas coming today, it's a mystery to us today. And we're just not coming back into the knowledge of our names. We're just not coming back to the knowledge of finding out that we are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we try and describe ourselves to whichever tribe according to what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and Genesis chapter 49. Issachar, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali. Issachar, cool. And we know that that was something that didn't have to be taught back in ancient Egypt. What's your nationality? What tribe you're from? Hebrew wasn't taught. I'm only saying that because now, today, we're just not finding out the truth of our nationality. A lot of people think that's all there is to it. A lot of people think that, okay, I'm good. The fact that I'm an Israelite, I'm good. The fact that I'm an Israelite is over. I don't have to do anything else. It's done. And then in these times that we're in, remember, Christ told you, let me slow down. I got to slow my mind down. I'm sorry. From Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures that we might have hope. And because a lot of people don't study, you have no patience, and you have no comfort, and you have no hope. And what you put your hope in is the wisdom of this world. As some people know, I do drive for favor. I do deliveries. And to go inside these stores and shop for people who are afraid to come out of their house, to be in these stores and see how many people put on these face masks and rubber gloves, goggles. You see some people with full head-covered gas masks shopping at Walmart. And I can only imagine what some of these militia groups are doing as this coronavirus thing went out, as they bugged out and ran to the hills and ran to their bunkers to escape this Armageddon. Again, not putting together any scriptures as far as there were 10 plagues that hit Egypt. No, this is it. This is the final countdown. It's done. It's the destruction. But as I go through these stores, I see how scared some people are. And I'm not mad at it because, hell, I'm getting paid from the fear and doubt and lack of faith in so many other people to want to even leave their homes, but they still need food, they need supplies, they need groceries. I'm getting paid to go shop for them. I'm getting paid to drop their groceries off. And from the can of Lysol I do have, Lysol, that I spray on the bags. When I make my deliveries, I spray all the bags with Lysol. And I tell the people, yes, I spray the bags with disinfectant. You know how many extra tips I get from people knowing that? They are so fearful and so scared of this coronavirus. That the fact that I sprayed, because you can't go to any store right now, Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Walmart's here in San Antonio, HEB's, you can't find any disinfectant. You might be able to in some other cities, Albuquerque, I don't know, but you can't find any spray Lysol. The fact that I'm telling people I sprayed their bags, their grocery bags with Lysol, the tips I give because of their fear. Again, I'm not upset at that, but it is shocking just to see how far removed people are from the Bible. Just, I mean, I have a literal, absolute fear. I went to Albuquerque last weekend. You know, it wouldn't be right if I didn't go visit my mother and my father. So the day we left, I went over there in the morning for about maybe about an hour. My mother was so terrified of the coronavirus. My own mother, who I hadn't seen in over a year, going close to a year now, wouldn't even give me a hug. She said she was literally on one side of the room. I was on the other side of the room, and she gave me sign language. I love you in sign language. We did actually speak and talk regularly. But she would not give me a hug. My dad gave me a hug because my aunt happened to be on the phone. His sister was on the phone with him, and she said, man, give Chris a hug for me. Give Michelle a hug for me. So my dad gave me a hug. But otherwise, terrified, terrified. And it's amazing to me, again, most of the things written aforetime, written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And it's the other scripture I wanted to read, I'm going to get there right now, is that Christ told us what was going to be happening in these last days. Now my computer doesn't want to cooperate. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's see here. Right. When we go to Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." And this is the thing that is really significant to me right now. That how much people are lovers of their own selves, but it's telling you that that is going to be one of the signs that we're in the last days. And to see the fear that people have of a cough, of a sniffle, it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not coming out my home. I'm not going to come out my house for the risk of catching coronavirus. But yet, as I do drive around, go to some of these parks, some of these nature trails. They're packed. They're packed. And another thing that's funny to me, you see people out exercising, out now going jogging. And you're out jogging because the CDC or the government says it's good to get some exercise. So I'm seeing people go out getting exercises with a face mask on. You already got social distancing going on where everybody's at least 6 feet away from one another. And that's supposed to be protection. And then you're outside exercising and you still got a mask on? Why? Is that supposed to be healthy? But the fear that everybody is under, the fear that everybody has of and being thrown into this self-preservation is really shocking. But I can't be too shocked because why? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says what? "This know also." And what kills me is, as much as everybody now has become an expert of disinfecting, an expert at social distancing, an expert at self-preservation, I'm still longing to see and hear everybody pulling up scriptures about how to deal with the situation. I don't know how many YouTube videos I get in my inbox. I don't know how many websites come to my inbox, come to my email about what to do in this situation, what to do in that situation. But don't get no scriptures.
They're getting that one scripture, but everybody must become an expert. Everybody is now doing their internet research, becoming an internet doctor, an internet physician, an internet pharmacist, an internet prepper. But I don't see nobody giving the fact that I get scriptures, I get none. It's very rare. But reading on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And there, before coronavirus went down, we could see this, the pride in people, the stubbornness in people, and we would always refer this to like homosexuals and liberals, free-spirited people. But you see it now so prevalent, too, and how deep of layers this scripture really applies to a lot of situations and a lot of people. That in these last days, as we're facing things like this coronavirus right now, as we're facing like germs, period, as we're facing things like death, let me say it like that. Let me just throw that out there. How many men have become lovers of their own selves? I don't give a damn about the scriptures. What do I got to do to be saved? And being saved, all of a sudden, isn't talking about your spirit being saved. It's about your physical flesh. What can I do for my physical flesh that my physical flesh will be saved? Got nothing to do with your spirit. But you and your folly and your foolishness, you have somehow combined and married your feelings to the spirit of the Most High. A lot of people, like, if it makes you uncomfortable or it's inconvenient for you, my spirit's telling me this ain't right. Then your spirit's off. If that's your spirit, then your spirit's off. The scripture tells us, and that's what the scripture that I did post. And I know I'm going fast, so I'm going to slow down. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 7, it says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. If God owns righteousness, God knows the difference between right and wrong. But he says, unto us is confusion of faces. We don't know God's righteousness. Our self-worth or self-definition of righteousness is always considered about what makes me feel good. What makes me feel good? And that is our own individual definition of righteousness. But when we read the scriptures, it's telling us, O Lord, Daniel chapter 9, verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. God knows what he thinks is right, and God knows what he thinks is wrong. But we try to combine and say that God's righteousness is based on how we feel. It's only right to us if we feel like it, regardless of what God says. And that's why it says, this know also, from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What do I got to do to save myself? What do I got to do to make sure I'm going to be straight as an individual, which has nothing to do with God's righteousness? The actions that we take on are not predicated or not arranged by what God says is right or what God says is wrong. Our decisions of righteousness is based completely on how we feel, how I see it. But if we were reading these scriptures, we would understand what. Now, in the last days, we're going to be put in situations where
men are to be lovers of their own selves. I love me. I love what I'm, my body, my flesh. I love me, my comfort, what I'm used to, my convenience, more than anything. And when that's getting touched or poked or intruded upon, the desire to want to feed my flesh, the desire to want to feed my comfort, what I found convenient, can become very overwhelming and will really pull us away from the scriptures. It'll pull us away from God's righteousness. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Covetous. All this is based on what? Selfishness. What I'm going through. And I don't want to go through it no more. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. I'm prepared. I don't know what y'all going to do. Me and mine are straight. What are y'all going to do? And in that person's mind, they're 100% justifiably right. They've got preparations. They've been doing this, and they're good. What are the rest of y'all going to do? I'm good. And now that we got these stimulus checks in, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Can't tell me nothing. Going to ride till I can't no more. It's ridiculous. But let me not keep going there. It says, "For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of the Most High." What is going to ease and comfort me? I love that more than I love the commandments of the Most High. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. You know, Christ did tell us, remember Lot's wife. He did say that. So, one thing I did want to get into, brothers and sisters, is when we go to 1 Maccabees chapter 2. 1 Maccabees chapter 2. And dealing with God's righteousness. Lately, I've been getting a lot of phone calls about the vaccine. The coronavirus vaccine. Are you going to take it? Are you not going to take it? Are you going to take it? You're not going to take it. I mean, and it's been a real it's been coming around a lot more. People are just terrified from the little scripture knowledge they have about, okay, well, it's the mark of the beast. It's the mark of the beast. It's the chip. It's and I'm not going to take it. I ain't going to get this vaccine. What do you think? What do y'all think? And I've made this answer several times to several individuals. As I'm about to come out with it, a lot of people bring up in Maccabees, where, and this would be other people's excuses for why they need to stockpile a lot of weapons. and really arm themselves. And they pull up the scripture, and they don't even read the scripture, they pull up the story about during the time of the Maccabees, that the Israelites that decided they were not going to defile the Sabbath. The people who kept the Sabbath were being stupid. Even said they're being mystical. And again, if the scripture says in Romans 7:14 tells us that the law is spiritual, then how the hell are you going to come back and say that them keeping the law was mystical? The only reason a person would say them keeping the law was mystical is because that person is really more concerned about self. It was dumb or foolish because of self. Not that they was doing right in the eyes of the Father, but because they allowed themselves to die. This is why a lot of Israelites today look at them like that was stupid, that was dumb. They look at them as if that was out the spirit. Almost carrying that Christian vibration. God, you know what I like. God, you know my heart. My God won't want me to go through nothing like that. Not my Jesus. And again, what book are you reading? What book are you reading? We usually mean first read 1 Maccabees chapter 2 during the time of Hanukkah. Because it was during his time that the temple was rededicated, where we get the word Hanukkah from, or dedication. I was going to read this whole thing, but I'm just going to go ahead and read it. I'm in 1 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 1. It says, in those days, arose Mattathias, the son of John, the son of Simeon, a priest of the sons of Jerib, from Jerusalem, and dwelt in Modin. Now, Modin is a city, right? And Mattathias was actually obviously a Levite, okay? And he had five sons, Johanan called Chedius, Simon called Thashi, Thasai, Judas who was called Maccabeus, Eleazar called Abiram, and Jonathan, whose surname was Apphus. And when he saw the blasphemies that were committed in Judah and Jerusalem, he said, "Woe is me! Wherefore have I borne to see this misery of my people and on the holy city and to dwell there when it was delivered into the hand of the enemy and the sanctuary into the hand of strangers? Her temple has become as a man without glory. Her glorious vessels are carried away in captivity. Her infants are slain in the streets. Her young men with the sword of the enemy. What nation has not had part in her kingdom and gotten of her spoils?" So we see history obviously repeats itself. This happened in the time of the Romans. We see the same thing happen at this time during the time of the Americans. All right. Verse 11. All her ornaments are taken away. Of a free woman, she has become a bond slave. And behold, our sanctuary, even our beauty and our glory, is laid waste, and the Gentiles have profaned it. To what end, therefore, shall we live any longer? Then Mattathias and his sons rent their clothes and put on sackcloth and mourned very sore. And in the meanwhile, the king's officers, such as compelled the people to revolt, came into the city, Modin, to make them sacrifice. And when many of Israel came unto them, then Mattathias also and his sons came together. then answered the king's officers and sent him to Mattathias on his wise. Thou art a ruler and an honorable and great man in this city, and strengthened with sons and brethren. Now therefore, come thou first and fulfill the king's commandment, like as all the heathen have done, yea, all the men of Judah also, and such as remain at Jerusalem, so that thou and thy sons be in the number of the king's friends, and thou and thy children shall be honored with silver and gold, and many rewards. So be sellouts. Be sellouts. Verse 19. Then Mattathias answered and spake with a loud voice. So all the nations that are under the king's dominion obey him, and fall away every one from the religion of their fathers, and give consent to his commandments. Yet will I and my sons and my brethren walk in the covenant of our fathers. Now, to be offered here in verse 18, so shalt thou and thy house live in the number of the king's friends, and thou and thy children shall be honored with silver and gold and many rewards. A lot of Israelites today will look at that and be like, see, that's the blessing of the Most High. See the money we're getting? The money, the silver, gold, and the rewards? See, that must be the Most High. That's got to be the Most High. Because why would the Most High want me to suffer? Why would the Most High want to go through anything? See, this is the Most High using our enemies to entreat us. And all you got to do is take a knee. I can fake taking a knee. Look at all the silver and gold and rewards me and my family are going to get. That's wisdom. And it's always good to have friends in high places. It's always good to have friends in high places. Verse 20. Yet will I and my sons and my brethren walk in the covenant of our fathers. The Most High forbid that we should forsake the law and the ordinances. We will not hearken to the king's words to go from our religion, either on the right hand or on the left. Now when he had left speaking these words, there came one of the Jews in the sight of all the sacrifice on the altar, which is at Moloch, according to the king's commandment. Verse 24, which thing when Mattathias saw, he was inflamed with zeal, and his reins trembled. Neither could he forbear to show his anger according to judgment. Wherefore he ran and slew him upon the altar. Also the king's commissioner, who compelled men to sacrifice, he killed at that time, and the altar he pulled down. Verse 26, thus dwelt he zealously for the law of the Most High, like as Phinehas did unto Zimri, the son of Salmon. Reading on. Verse 27, and Mattathias cried throughout the city with a loud voice, saying, whosoever is zealous of the law and maintains the covenant, let him follow me. So he and his sons fled into the mountains and left all that ever they had in the city. Then many that sought after justice and judgment went down into the wilderness to dwell there, both they and their children and their wives and their cattle, because afflictions increased sore upon them. So these people leave their estates. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They didn't live in the city. They had to come to the city of Moloch. They all had their estates with all their cattle and all their livestock, what have you. It wasn't the city like what we grew up in today. Like we grew up in Albuquerque, like we grew up in San Antonio, Houston, Norfolk, Virginia. No, we had land. We had plenty of land around a municipality. So they left everything and went out to the wilderness to live. Yes, it did happen. Let's keep reading though. So were they wrong for that? No. And they weren't wrong for that. Why were they not wrong? They were gathered together. Did they do it solo? I guess that's the point I want to bring out. If we look at what made this a righteous move, did Mattathias do it just for his family? Did he only make sure he and his family were straight? No. Verse 29. So many that saw after justice and judgment went down into the wilderness to dwell therein, to dwell there. Both they and their children and their wives and their cattle, because afflictions were very sore upon them. Verse 31. Now when it was told the king's servants and the host that was at Jerusalem in the city of David, then that certain men had broken the king's commandment were gone down into the sepulchres, the secret places in the wilderness. Verse 32. They pursued after them a great number, and having overtaken them, they camped against them and made war against them on the Sabbath day. Verse 34. But they said, we will not come forth, neither will we do the king's commandment to profane the Sabbath day. So then they gave them the battle with all speed. Howbeit, they answered them not, neither cast they a stone at them, nor stopped the places where they had hid, but said, let us die in our innocency. Heaven and earth will testify for us that ye put us to death wrongfully. Now, a lot of Israelites today were looking at that part and like, see, that was dumb, stupid, foolish. They died in being innocent, in their innocency. They died keeping laws of Mosiah. That was stupid. That's not the spirit. That's not wisdom, knowledge, understanding. What point is it keeping the laws if you're going to die anyway? My question is, so were they wrong to keep the law? No, they weren't wrong for keeping the law. They weren't wrong for keeping the law. As we read on, verse 38. So they rose up against them in battle on the Sabbath day, on the Sabbath, and they slew them with their wives and children and their cattle, and to a number of 1,000 people. Now when Mattathias and his friends understood, therefore, they mourned for them right sore. And one of them said to another, If we all do as our brethren have done, and fight not for our lives and laws against the heathen, they will now quickly root us out of the earth. At that time, therefore, they decreed, saying, whosoever shall come to make battle with us on the Sabbath day, We will fight against them. Neither will we all die as our brethren that were murdered in the secret places. As you read the story, Judas Maccabees and his father, it was then decreed that if we get attacked on the Sabbath day, then we'll fight. Then we'll fight. The point I guess I'm trying to bring out is when I read stories like this, I read histories like this, and the scripture says things written before time for our learning. The Israelites that died, keeping the laws of the Most High, they weren't wrong for that. Revelation, the sixth chapter, tells us that the devil's going to throw some of us in jail. Or that matter of fact, I looked under the altar and saw them that were slaves for the word and testimony of the Most High in Christ. For Maccabees and the city they were in, they were all gathered together. And the city they were in, but they were gathered together. They decided, cool, on the Sabbath day, if we get attacked, on the Sabbath day, we'll fight. The fact that in one city, those Israelites, and keeping the laws of the Most High, died for the laws of the Most High. That was not wrong. Others in another city decided, no, if it comes to us fighting on the Sabbath, we are going to come together and go fight on the Sabbath. We could look and say it was one action was contradictory of the other action. They weren't wrong. Whatever city you're in, are you with those Israelites in that city? If you decide to bug out and go to a secret mountain location, the Israelites here weren't the secret locations. They were still found. These Israelites here were off the grid. They were still found. I can hear so many people's thoughts. Not that I'm a mind reader or going crazy, but everybody in the last days, perilous times will come. Men should be loved of their own selves. Nobody wants to go through any inconvenience. Nobody wants to go through any discomfort. And every argument that a person has right now is about fighting them going through something comfortable or inconvenient. And all the justification that's taking place. Are you gathering with those Israelites in whatever city you're in? Brother, I'm sorry. I'm going to end this episode, brothers, sisters. I'm sorry. For those brothers and sisters that are gathering with other Israelites in the city you're in, and y'all providing for each other in the city you're in, beautiful to you. To everybody who still wants to be an individual, you only think about yourself, do you read the scripture at all? In the last days, perilous times will come, and men shall be lovers of their own selves. You're only worried about if you're going to physically die or not. What about your spirit, though?
soon, everyone.